And I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse, and I'm going to go down through the 16th verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16 is our text today. And George, I'm going to ask you if, I know you're going to put the text up, you already have it there, and you have a graphic for me in a few minutes, but if you would wait until I give you the signal to put it up, I'd appreciate it. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16, and I'm going to kind of go old school this morning. Is that okay? You don't know what in the world that means, do you? I just asked you to vote on something, didn't tell you what it was. I'm going to go a little old school this morning and read from the King James Version of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and brought heir and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should, after receive for an inheritance, obey. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The word of God for the people of God. Artists use a medium to prepare whatever great work of art it is that they're working on. How many artists do we have here this morning? Oh, you're not sure if you want to hold up your hands. You know, the truth is there's probably a lot more artists here than we want to admit, or we don't confess that we're artists, but an artist uses a medium. Now, the plural of a medium is media. That's where that word comes from. It's the plural of medium. But the medium that the artist uses to produce their works of art are varied and many. What are some mediums? What is some media? How do you say that? Is or are? I'm not sure. But what would a medium be that some artists might use? Somebody who's an artist here, what's your medium? Oils, Watercolors. Clay. What are some others? Silver. Wood. What? A hammer? Hammer.
Camera.
A camera. Hey, listen, we're going to get it done, okay?
Popsicle sticks.
Popsicle sticks. So many. George, go ahead and put up my graphic, if you would, sir, please. This morning, after reading the text, what I'd like to do to unpack the text is I would like to use the medium of ink and pen to unpack what the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in the first verse, he says, faith is, and this is from the King James Version of the Bible, faith is the, do you remember what? Faith is the what of things hoped for? Do you remember? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There it is. Let's give George a hand. Can you do that? Thank you. And let's give Annie a hand, too, because she helped me get this put together. I'll go ahead and give Annie a hand. She's in absentia. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I want to use the image of ink and paper to unpack what the writer is saying here. The writer of the epistle to the Hebrews is telling us that faith is the ink that we write the future with. He's telling us that faith is the medium that God has given us to create tomorrow with. And the Hebrews that were receiving this letter from whoever it was that wrote it, now we don't know who wrote Hebrews, we're not sure. I think it was Origen who said, the writer is known only to God. But the church has recognized and has acknowledged by the leading of the Holy Spirit that this is Holy Scripture. And the writer to the Hebrew Christians was writing to them specifically because they were on the cusp of abandoning faith. Have you ever been on the cusp of abandoning faith? Now, I don't want you to hold up your hands. You don't have to confess. But have you ever struggled with faith? He writes to them, and he says, faith is the substance of the future. Now, fatalism tells us that we human beings have no power over our destinies. I used to have a friend who was a cowboy up in Portales, New Mexico. I used to go places with him. We used to hang out a little bit together sometimes. And I would get in his pickup, and I would always buckle my seatbelt. And he gave me a hard time over that. And I said, well, these things save people's lives. And this is what he told me. He said, preacher, he said, I believe that when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. How many of y'all have ever heard that before? He said, I believe, and he quoted scripture. The Bible says that God has numbered our days. Have you read that in the Bible? God has numbered our days. And it does say that. It's just I don't interpret it the same way he interpreted it. How many of you know that there's more than one way to interpret the Bible? Well, he said, it says right there, if your days are numbered, that means that God has given us a time that we, each one of us, are going to die. And no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, that's when you're going to go. And I said, okay. Well, another time I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, why is it that when you put a saddle on your horse, and I've seen you do this, why is it that you pull that cinch so tight? And then you make sure that that horse has sucked all the air out of it and then tighten it up some more. You seen anybody do that? He said, well, preacher, that's just common sense. He had a very convenient way of applying his theology to his life. Fatalism says we really don't have anything to do with how things turn out. Fatalism says we have no say over the future. But the Bible calls us to a faith that's different from that, I believe. Fatalism says that we are God's pawns. The Bible, on the other hand, says that we are God's partners in creating the future that He invites us to. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith calls us to believe. This writer of Hebrews says that God is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This world, my friends, the creation that we are a part of, is about seeking God. And faith allows us to see that. Faith opens our eyes to God's goodness and His purposes for us. And as we seek God, as we choose faith, something changes in us. Proverbs tells us that where there is no vision, people go crazy. That doesn't literally say that. Well, it really does. Although it doesn't say that in your translation of the Bible, I'm sure. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's the King James. Another translation, I think the NIV says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. And there's a paraphrase that says that where there is no revelation of God, people run off the road and go in the ditch. Faith allows us to continue even when we cannot see. Maybe faith shapes how we do see. Have you ever heard anybody talk about looking at things through eyes of faith? What do you think that means, to look at something through eyes of faith? Is that different from just looking at something? Maybe faith shapes how we see. And out of faith, out of looking at the world through eyes that have been shaped by faith, a new world emerges because a new us is born. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Actually, I'm not going to read the passage. I'm just going to talk to you about it. If you want to look there in your Bibles, you may. Romans 8, 38 and 39. But in Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul explains that no matter what happens, none of it should be taken to mean that God is against us or that He has stopped loving us. Do you remember what it says? All things work together for those who are what? They work together for what?
Good.
To those who are called by God. And he goes on and he explains that there's nothing that happens that we should look at as being something that God has done to us because He's mad at us or because He doesn't like us. It is all part of our living in a risky neighborhood. Any of y'all think about living in risky neighborhoods? Is Ruidoso a risky neighborhood? El Paso obviously is a risky neighborhood. Come on. Where is there in this world that is not risky? We live in a world where anything seems to be able to happen at any time. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I believe what you say. You know what I'm saying. It's not because God was mad at El Paso. It's not because God was mad at Latinos. It's not because God is mad at America or because He doesn't love us. Romans 8, 28 and 29 explains that no matter what happens, none of it should be taken to mean that God is against us or has stopped loving us or that He is punishing us. It is all part of our living in a risky neighborhood that we have to endure And I know you're not going to like that, but we have to endure it so that we can reach the goal that God has for us. And the goal is bigger than the hurt we sometimes, maybe often feel, or the fears that we have of the darkness that we often live in. The goal, my friends, is reaching out for God. As we reach out, we risk letting go of what is safe for God. And when we do that, something comes alive in us. It's like we die to something, and something new is released out of the darkness of our souls. Something that we thought had been lost, or maybe that we never knew existed before. Something that was bound is set free. Have you ever noticed how many of the great old gospel songs sing about being set free? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but what? Now I'm found. Jesus taught that salvation is in our turning loose of the illusion of certainty. To reach for God. Can we do that? Dare we do that? He taught us that we find by losing. Could he have been telling us that the key is not in getting the answers, but in looking for them? And I don't know that if I were coming to church to hear somebody preach, I would want to hear, especially in the climate we live in today, that it's not about finding answers, because I think all of us are groping for answers, and we have been, seems like, for years now. Come on. But Jesus taught, seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It almost sounds like he's saying the finding is in the seeking and the opening is in the knocking. There's a picture of it when Jacob wrestled all night long with the angel who was, I believe, God. And out of that wrestling, something in Jacob changed. He lost something. Have you read the story? He went away from there limping. Because even though he lost something, he also found his truest nature. He stopped being Jacob, and the name Jacob literally means controller. It means manipulator. It means fixer. And from then on, he was known by another name that was given to him by God, and that name was what? Israel. And what does it mean? Prince of God. One who trusts God. So faith shapes who we are, but faith also shapes our actions. It also shapes what we do. Verses 4 and following tells us, by faith Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith Enoch walked with God. By faith Noah built an ark. By faith Abraham set out on a journey. By faith Isaac followed his father's faith. By faith Sarah conceived. How old was she? Old. Too old to be fooling around with Abraham anymore. Come on now. But the conception happened anyway because she believed God enough and she conceived. By faith, Jacob blessed his grandchildren and future generations to come, the Bible says, leaning on his staff. I wonder how many of the folks in this room have sometimes wondered, am I too old to make a difference? I don't want to have any show of hands. But sometimes we feel like our time has passed. Well, I want to tell you something. Jacob didn't get to that place. Leaning on his staff, he still blessed his grandchildren and future generations. Jim, can you bless folks from a wheelchair? Yes, you can. By faith, Joseph planned for the future. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. They protected him. By faith, Moses refused. Moses said no. By faith, people marched through the Red Sea. By faith, all of these who are listed in Hebrews 11 that we often call the Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame, they all did stuff. And faith not only shapes what we do, faith literally becomes the future. It is the medium that God gives us to work with, to work through, to produce a new tomorrow through. It is the ink we write the future with. I got a lot of ink on this. Tell you something, I told Lola yesterday, I think, or this morning one, I said, writing a sermon is a lot like having a baby. It's painful and it's messy. I can't hardly read some of this stuff that's in here. Faith is powerful. Is that enough for me to say today? Faith means turning loose of what's certain and reaching out for God. What nurtures faith? Where do we get faith from? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. Now, we think of that being the Bible, and certainly it is. But it's more than just words on a page. The Word of God, according to the Scriptures, is alive. It is spirit. It is Christ Himself. And we encounter it as we read the pages of Scripture. We encounter it as we hear it preached and as we hear it taught. We encounter God's Word as we interact with one another, and especially as we interact with people who are different from us and who think differently and see differently and who have different answers to some of the same questions that we're asking as they're asking. Their answers are not always just like ours. But sometimes in that conflict, we don't find answers. And something that I believe is unbelievably important is for us to learn that rather than thinking that we've got to find an exact answer, maybe what really needs to happen is we need to stop trying to land on certainty and reach out to whom? To God. Now, does that mean we won't do anything? Does that mean we won't act? Well, all of the people in Hebrews chapter 11 acted. And Hebrews 11 talks about all the things that were produced through their faith. And some of them never saw the fruit of their faith. Some of them were slain. Some of them died. But the amazing thing to me is that there in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, one of the things that the writer tells us is that even though these people died, still their faith and the fruit of their faith lives on. And it mingles with our faith as we continue to write by reaching out to God. And yeah, we will act and we will do things because of what God does in us. He moves. And as He moves in us, we move. Question I want to leave you with this morning is, where do you need to risk? Where do you need to die to live? How will you begin to use faith to write a better tomorrow? What will it look like for you to turn loose of safety and control and reach out to God enough for things to begin to appear on the page? Rob Bell wrote these words: history moves forward, not backward or sideways. Time does not repeat itself, neither does life. While we continually find grace waiting to pick us up off the ground after we have fallen, there are realities to our choices. While we may get other opportunities, we won't get the one right in front of us. It comes, it's here, it goes, and then it's gone. Jesus reminds us in a number of ways it is vitally important we take our choices here and now as seriously as we possibly can, because they matter more than we can begin to imagine. Jesus urges us to live like the end is here, now, today. I hope you heard the words of the scripture that was read earlier this morning from John or from Luke chapter 12. George, I have, I think, one more graphic to put up there. And we'll close with this. Imagine an updated edition of Hebrews 11 is written. And your story is included. Wouldn't that be something? If Ed's story was included. If Kevin's story was included, if Todd's story was included, put your name in there by faith. And then, after you've written your name in there, what will you have written with the ink that God is giving you? What would you have done that will be included? What's the medium God's given us to write tomorrow with?
Faith.
If you got a pencil, take your bulletin, and if you want to just scratch that down, I dare you. And just scratch it down. By faith, what's somebody's name in here? Oh, don't write their name, write your name down. By faith, Dr. Clemens. What's your first name?
Michael.
I thought it was doctor. I didn't know. By faith, Michael. By faith, Helen. By faith, Johnny. And you may not know. That's okay. That's all right. But it is as we begin to move towards God in ways like this, that our futures change, that the futures of our children change. Even if you're leaning on your staff, even if you're sitting in a wheelchair, doesn't make any difference. What is the substance of things hoped for? Faith. Oh, and let's see. Faith without what is dead? Works is dead. And now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you go in peace. May you go as carriers of peace. May you go in faith, using the medium of faith. The future that God is inviting you and the rest of us to. In Christ's name, amen.